2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 to 17 tonight will be our text. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Tonight I want to just preach a little bit in connection with our series. You can trust the book. You can trust the book. Father, tonight, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, tonight for your word, for this place, Father. Lord, the world may say that we're small in nature, but we serve a big God. Lord, you've always worked with the remnant, Father. You always worked with small groups. Tonight, I'd ask you, Lord, to do no less, but to work in this place as well. God, tonight, we call upon you for your help, Lord. We can do nothing without you, Father. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless now and help us this evening. May your spirit have free reign and do your will, we ask in your name. Amen. I read about a lady named Danielle Umstead. She's an Olympic medalist. In 2010, she won two bronze medals in the women's downhill ski racer. She did slalom racing. 2014, she won another bronze medal in the super combined event in Russia. Danielle Umstead is blind. She depends entirely on her guide that is in front of her to get her down the slope. Skiing up to 70 miles per hour, Danielle must rely 100% on her guide, which happens also to be her husband. Her guide skis in front of her, calling out the commands. If her guide does well and gives her a good description, she can be aggressive and anticipate what's coming. If he does not communicate well, she is left second guessing and performs poorly. To communicate, this couple, they use Bluetooth headsets in their helmets. The headsets in our helmets are vital. If our battery dies, we're done for the day because we just couldn't ski without them anymore, says Rob Olmsted, her husband. Danielle is literally putting her life in the hands of Danielle's spoken word. Here's what Danielle said. We learned a lot through skiing. I've learned how to trust. I've learned how to communicate. Every day is different. Every course is different. Our communication changes. Terrain changes. It's scary, but I like it. And I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else. You know, just as Danielle skis on a slope, competing, listening to only the words of her husband in front of her, trusting him as he tells her when to stand, when to bend, when to turn left, when to turn right, describing to her the terrain as he goes down, she skis up to 70 miles per hour down this hill at his spoken word. We too, as Christians, can trust God and trust his word. God is our guide walking before us, calling out commands as we go through life. Though the course may change and the situation may change in our life and life may at times be scary, you can trust the word of God. Tonight I want to talk to you about how to do that and why we should trust God's word in today's climate. We find that the Bible here in our text tonight, God says the Bible is profitable. That means it's good. It's worth of great value. It means it's going to benefit you something. And we're all looking for that. Every American wants what's in it for me. Well, for the Christian, the Bible is profitable. But the Bible is profitable. The context is connected with verse number 1. We see the Bible as being profitable sometimes as in a sunny day. Or as in a day that, you know, everything's fine. When we're well equipped. But the Bible, the context in 2 Timothy chapter 3 begins in verse number 1. Where it says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. In the context of the Bible being profitable for the believer, and God being our guide as God gives us his commands as we go through life through his word, the context is perilous days shall come. It's the last days. It's the perilous times. And if you read this description of perilous times, the Bible says this throughout the chapter about perilous times. It describes us that young people will become lovers of pleasures among the lovers of God. It says that churches will be anemic. They have a form of godliness but no power. It talks about women being deceived and believing the lies of the devil. It talks about the intellectual denying the truth and the power of the Bible. Today's intellectual says the Bible doesn't have the answers. The Bible may be able to save your soul, but it can't fix your everyday life. The Bible's not qualified to help in other areas of your life, that you need somehow, you need the world's knowledge, or the world's intellect, or you need a psychiatrist, or you need a pill to fix that problem. When the Bible, and so we find that in the last days, the intellects will deny the truth and the power of the Bible. We find that demon-possessed people will resist the work of God. in the work of the church. And it says the evil men will wax worse and worse. In the midst of all this chaos and carnality, the Bible is still good and profitable. God is still shouting out the commands how to get safely for us, how to safely get down the slope. First number 14, we find that the believers can continue in the Word of God. In the midst of all this chaos and carnality and perilous times, verse number 14 says, but continue down the things that which thou hast learned. And so we're told that in the last days and perilous times when things wax, men wax worse and worse and things get chaotic and confusing and carnal and evil, that the believers would continue in God's Word, that God's Word is still profitable in those times. And so you can trust the Word of God. You see, don't change what has worked since God instructed Adam and Eve. We need to be faithful to the Word of God. The faithful believer doesn't change due to circumstances or society. The faithful believer doesn't change due to circumstances or persecutions or because the options may look bleak. We don't change following the Word of God and listening to the God's commands. And so we can have absolute trust in the Bible, in the book. And tonight I just kind of wonder how many Christians tonight really have absolute trust in the Bible. Absolute trust in what God has said. We put the Bible on the end table and it collects dust, so we don't often read it. We use the Bible as the last resort. And so tonight I want to encourage you as believers that you can have absolute trust in the Word of God. And you can have absolute trust in what God says. The promises, His blessings, His commands, all the things that we should do, be filled with the Spirit of God, the abundant Christian life, we can have absolute trust in those things. And by the way, I always want you to see is if you're to read through 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the end times, and this is, and Chris and I have discussed this a little bit, when the devil begins to reign and begins to have his way, we find that women and children are the victims oftentimes. And women begin to become unruly and be deceived and they get led astray. And young folks rebel and suffer consequences. So let me tell you something. You can mark your Christianity, you can mark your church, you can mark your family by how well is your women and children doing under your leadership and under your umbrella of protection. And so we find that the devil aims for those folks. He said, well, I don't like that. Well, God said it in the book. Well, who's unthankful? Who's unruly? Who does something to the parents? Young people. Well, God said that these men, these deceivers, they creep into houses, try to deceive women. As the serpent did to Eve in the garden. And so we need tonight to understand the times that we live in. And saying so, you can trust the book. You can trust the Bible. You can trust what the Bible says about how to live your life and conduct your home and live and have your marriage and raise your children and conduct your finances and how to help you and your soul's needs. You can trust the book. You can trust the book. Let me give you tonight a few reasons why you can trust the book. You can trust the book because of the Bible's author. The Bible is not an ordinary book written by the will of man. Some guy just sits down one day and said, you know what, I just want to write a book about the beginning of time and the end of time and everything in between. The Bible is a supernatural book. It's 66 books written over a 1500-year period of time by 40 different writers. It's a supernatural book. But the author is the Holy Spirit of God. God authored the Bible, the Word of God. If you look at the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19, we, the church, have also more sure word of prophecy. That's the book in your hand. That means it's more sure than what you say. Well, if I can just have the Lord speak to me in an audible voice, we have a more sure word. Well, if I can just have someone like Moses that would have been seeing the Lord on the mountain come down and say what God said. Listen, Christian, you have a more sure of a word than they did. Whereunto you do well, you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Man didn't think of it himself. It wasn't just some creative author somewhere that thought it up. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is the author of the Word of God. He's the author. What he did is he began to tell the writers. He began to use men like Paul and Peter and John and Moses. And he spoke to them. He said, "Now write these words." He didn't say just write the message. He said, "Write these words." Every word is inspired by the Word of God. God said, listen, not only is every word inspired, but God said, listen, I'm gonna take care of every jot and tittle of the Word. Every cross, the tear, or dot of the I's inspired, and so that we can trust God's Word because of the author is the Holy Ghost. It's not a man-made book. It's a supernatural book. Number two, you can trust the book because of the Bible's preservation. Look with me at Psalms chapter 12. You can trust the book because of the Bible's preservation. So the Bible has been inspired by God. Apostle Paul wrote much of the New Testament. Where did he get the words from? The Holy Ghost told him what to write. Inspired him. It's almost, if you will, as Paul put the pen to the paper, the Holy Ghost came down and put his hand upon Paul's hand and began to write the words for the Apostle Paul and led him and directed him. It's an inspired Bible. Then in Psalm chapter 12, we see not only that, but we find the promise of God preserving His Word. In Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 6, the Bible says this: "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times." Look at verse number 7. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord." Now, the NIV wants to make that sound like God's going to keep the believer. But the word "them" refers back to the words of God. The Bible says that God shall keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So God has promised to preserve. Well, I don't understand why we have a problem with that. If God can inspire supernaturally His Word through the writers of human men, if God can inspire His Word, God can preserve His Word. He has no problem keeping His Word. And God promised us that He would keep His Word from generation to generation. And so tonight we can trust the book because it's been preserved. I don't have to go to the NIV to find a new message or an improved message. I don't have to use the New King James Bible. I don't have to use the English translation. I can stick with the old King James Bible, knowing that God has promised to preserve His Word. And by the way, if you have any other version of the Bible, throw it away. Burn it. It's a perversion of the Word of God. So I preach, I can't understand the book. Well, then get saved. If you can't understand the Word of God, then either you're backslidden or you're not born again. Because when you got born again, the Holy Spirit of God dwelt within you, and He will be your teacher. So yes, no, preacher, you understand everything in God's Word? I understand a whole lot more than I used to. So here's what I do. Lord, I'm going to read your Bible today. Read your book, the Lord, that you wrote. Teach me, Lord, what you have me to learn today. Help me, dear God. Boy, there's been many times where I've read a verse and just blank. God, you got to help me with this verse. I need your help. And God begins to shed some light. And so, listen, you can understand the Word of God. Many folks that say that just don't read it. They just don't read it. And so, God has promised to preserve His Word. You can trust the book because of the Bible's prophet. Not just did God preserve it, but God told us in our text tonight that God said that it'd be the prophet, the man of God. Look back at our text this evening. You can trust the book because of the Bible's prophet. Look at verse number 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The Bible is profitable to make a lost man wise unto salvation. How did Timothy know how to be saved? The Word of God, the scriptures. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17 says, "So the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Where does faith come from? From the Word of God. And so Scripture is profitable because it can make a lost man saved when he hears the Word of God. And by the way, that's what lost people need to hear, not some funny stories, not some fables, not some self-help. You know, not some, you're okay, what you believe, we're all going the same direction, we're all going the same path, our roads lead to heaven, our roads lead to God. No, they don't. Then you hear the word of God, then you hear the gospel preached, and the gospel taught, and the gospel, the word of God read. They need the God's word, and so God's word is profitable because it brings the lost man salvation. The Holy Scripture is profitable, verse 16, because for doctrine. It teaches a man what is truth. How do you decide what truth is? Young folks, tonight I want to encourage you to be a generation that goes back and says, you know what, I'm going to decide what truth is based upon what the word of God says. That's what grandpa, by the way, that's the old time religion. That's what grandpa and grandma used to live by. It wasn't relevant to the society. It wasn't always changing. It wasn't your truth is not my truth, and my truth is not your truth. They went back to the book and said, thus saith the Lord. Here's what God's word says. This is truth. So God's word teaches you what is doctrine, what to believe. Hey, what do you believe about salvation? What's the Bible say? Hey, preacher, what do you believe about baptism? Well, what's the Bible say? What about church membership? What's the Bible say? What about separation? That's not for you to decide. What's the Bible say? How about how we should dress or how we should live our life or who we should marry? What's the Bible say about all those things? What do you? That's what the truth is. You and I don't have the right to decide what truth is. Now, you can call it your truth if you want to, but you're living in a lie. And so, God says, let all men be... Let God be true and all men a liar. So the Bible teaches us, it's profitable because it teaches us what is truth. For a reproof, what's that mean? It reveals wrong thinking and wrong behaving. Reproves, it reveals what's wrong. It's going to reveal to you and I, like a looking glass, where I'm wrong. Now, by the way, when God's Word does that, let's be Christian enough and spiritual enough and full of the Holy Spirit enough to say, all right, God, if that's where I'm wrong, I'm going to change a few things. For reproving. God's word reproves. But for a preacher, I want warm, fuzzy feelings. You let God's word work through you, you get some warm, fuzzy feelings at the end of the day. For correction. It's good for correction. So not only does it reveal wrong thinking and wrong believing and wrong behaving, it corrects wrong thinking and wrong action. It brings the man, the word correction means to bring back from error. And so God is going to, His Word is going to correct us. Alright? Where did we mess up at? What were we wrong at? We should ask God that. We should strive and press toward the mark and say, okay, God, I want to be teachable. I want to strive to please You and be a Spirit-filled Christian and enjoy the abundant Christian life and not just live on the surface and not just be a carnal believer. God, reveal to me where I'm wrong, God, and where I need help and show me then, Lord, bring me back to what's right. That's instruction then. So God gives us instruction. He instructs men of God in righteousness. Now, God's word is profitable for those things, and the Bible blesses man. The book blesses man. Listen to these verses. Listen to Psalms 119:2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with the whole heart. God's word will bless the man. Listen to Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1 through 5. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the seat of the congregation of the righteous. Tonight we see that God says that the Bible blesses man. That this book will bless you. God says, don't go to the ungodly or the scorner or the sinners and get their help and their formulas and their recipes and their directions and their instruction. He says, don't walk with them, don't stand with them, don't sit with them, but walk in the Word of God. Meditate upon God's Word, that this man should be blessed in his deed. So God's word is profitable. We can trust the book because the Bible is profitable. The Bible is better than gold and sweeter than honey. Psalms 19, verse number 9, 8 through 10 says this, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Man places a great value today upon money. Most men are motivated by money. What will money do for me? God says his book will do more for you than money can buy. Think about tonight if you can find some fine gold. Pure fine gold. Boy, that would bring some rejoicing. That would bring, hey, relief and some help maybe in some areas. But the Bible says that God's word is better than that. Better than fine gold, sweeter also than honey to your taste. It will nourish you and help you and clean you up. And so God's word is profitable because it blesses man. Tonight, I wish we believe that tonight. I wish we would, as Christians, we would believe that God's word is a blessing to man. It will bless me if I walk in it and do it. You can trust the Bible because not only is it profitable, but you can trust the book because of the Bible's power. Look at verse number 16 of our text. Verse number 17. So God's word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. This word perfect does not speak of sinless perfection. Believe it or not, there are those out there that believe that once you get saved, if you just work hard enough, you can come to a place where you sin no more in this flesh. Now, when you arrive there, most likely you're probably dead. Okay? There is no such thing in this side of heaven as sinless perfection in this body. Now, there's a part of me, part of you if you're saved, that doesn't sin. We're righteous in Christ. But as far as this old nasty body is concerned, and my old flesh is corrupt, I'm just going to sin often. All right? But the Bible says that the word perfect means to be complete, to be mature, to be a finished product. And so God says that his word is so powerful that it can make you a complete, altogether finished Christian. Think about that. That God's word is not lacking in any area at all. In every area of your life, every arena of your life, every facet of your life, that God's word can make you complete in. And so it's a book of power. It's not just a book of black words on white paper. It's a living book. It's a powerful book. It's God's word. You can trust it because it's a book of power. You see, God says here that it corrects what is wrong, it fixes what is broken, it heals what is wounded. It makes you complete. And so it finds what's wrong as a looking glass, and it corrects it. It finds where you're broken, and it fixes it. It finds where you're hurt and wounded, and it heals it. So, well, I can't do that. Then you got the wrong book, sister. I don't care what you're going through, what kind of pain you had in your life, whether your hearts are hurting or your mind's hurting, you got some kind of soul problem or a mental problem, if you got a social problem, God's word can heal those wounds. God can, listen, you don't have to have a 14 step to get dry. God can heal the alcoholic. God can take those that have been plagued with mental problems and demonic problems and social problems and fix their soul and their spirit and make them whole. Because it's a powerful book. You see, we don't believe that. We gotta run to psychiatrists and get pills to be put on and tell our problems to some quack that's got more problems than we do. When God's word can fix those problems, but it's gotta be taken off the bookshelf and off the end table and off the coffee table and read a little bit. Saints of old would sometimes read 20 chapters a day to get help from God. And we want to read two verses and say, well, I did my job. Why am I not helped yet? Well, take a double dose. Take it two or three times a day. But get in the Word of God. And let God's Word cleanse you. You may not, Brother Coral, Evangelist Brother Danny Coral, knows, I'm going to tell you something, you don't like the way he preaches, but he knows the book. He got saved out of a drunkard's home. He himself, a drunkard, was what do they call those guys in the bar? They kick people out. He was a bouncer. Just a bouncer, just a fighter. He got born again. His mind was so polluted with garbage. He sat down and began to read the book over and over and over again. And I believe the first year he was saved, the first year or two he was saved, he read the Bible through 100 times to cleanse his mind of the junk he put in it. You know what? It's a powerful book. It's a powerful book. And young folks, it can fix whatever ails you. So, preacher, my marriage is broken. Well, the book can fix it. Well, preacher, I got an unsaved spouse. The book can help you with that. Well, preacher, I got financial problems. The book can help you with that. Preacher, I'm a social moron. The book can help you with that. Preacher, I'm just a moron. Well, the book can help you with that. The book is a powerful book. Preacher, I've been wounded. I've been hurt. I've been done wrong in my life. And I've got some hurt feelings. The book can help with this. Everything. It's a powerful book. Amen. Now watch this. The Word of God makes the believer thoroughly furnished. Thoroughly furnished. That means it begins on the inside, works its way out. Now, that word thoroughly furnished, I thought about that today. What does that mean for the believer? You know, if your husband bought you a brand new house, do your dreams, whatever you like. So he said this, we're going to thoroughly furnish it. That means you can walk in any room and find all the furniture and appliances that you need in that place. You can walk in the living room, there'll be couches and chairs and ottomans and end tables and coffee tables and lamps and lighting. You walk in the kitchen and there are going to be your appliances, your refrigerator, your dishwasher, your microwave, your stove, and whatever else you want to have in there. You can walk into a bedroom, there's going to be a big old king-size bed in there with a dream mattress, whatever, and big fluffy pillows and nice big oak dressers. You can walk in the restroom, there's going to be, you know, whatever you need in the restroom is going to be in there. Thoroughly furnished. The Bible says that the book will thoroughly furnish us. That means you can go to any chamber of our heart and find it equipped to do the work of God. Preacher, I just don't love very much. Well, get in the Word. It'll furnish you with love. Preacher, I don't have much peace in my life. Get in the Word. It'll furnish you with peace. Preacher, I just don't have, I'm a loose tongue preacher. Get in the Word. It'll put a chain on that thing. Preacher, I got a bad attitude. Get in the Word. It'll change your spirit. Preacher, I'm a little bit rebellious in my life, and I don't really want to serve God. I kind of want to chase the world and go into the world. Hey, what you need is the Word of God to bring your flesh under submission once again. Get in the Word. Preacher, I was not very spiritual. I know. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. It'll thoroughly furnish your life. Every facet, every arena of your life, God equips you to every good work. Now, if the book can't do that, then God's a liar. Let's just go home and play checkers. It's the good book. You can trust the book because of the Bible's power. Think of the days of old. The miracles are God's Word. At a spoken word, the universe was created. At a spoken word, heaven and earth were put in place. At a spoken word, the sun began to shine, the stars began to glisten in the sky. At a spoken word, there was trees and grass and seas and flowers and trees and birds and animals. At a spoken word. Hey, with his breath, he gave life to man. Hey, with his word, he cried out, Father, forgive them, they know what they do. Hey, with his word, there's power in his word. Hey, just at his word, the Red Sea parted. And all along we can go at his spoken word, there's power in his word. And tonight, if we're lacking power, it's because we're lacking a walk with God, I want to be full of the Holy Spirit of God, then get in his word. Get in his word. Life is like that ski slope. Always changing. Always changing. And we gotta be careful to follow our guide. To stand behind Christ. Let him give out the commands of when to turn and when to go straight and when to stand up and when to kneel and when to go to the left and when to go right. And as he says, hey, it's slippery, watch out there! To follow our guide. Because our life depends upon it. You can trust the book, but you must put the book into practice. You see, a man cannot live just for the physical. That man is miserable. But everyone must live by the word of God. Christ said in Matthew 4:4 to the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Tonight, if all you do is feed your flesh, you're in trouble. I just don't wonder sometimes when Christians say, preacher, I just don't feel spiritual. Preacher, I just don't feel like I want to come to church anymore. I don't feel like I want to knock on doors. I just want to curl up somewhere and I just want to either die or I just want to quit this whole thing called the Christian life and live in the world and chase silly dreams. That's because you are not living by the Word of God. See, whatever you feed the most is going to be strongest in your life. Whether you feed the flesh or carnality, you feed the Spirit. You can't feed the Spirit with Days of Our Lives and TV and the wrong music and the rap and the junk of the world. You've got to feed your Spirit with the Word of God. You see, it's not antiquated. It's not out of date. It's not old-fashioned. It's a living book that will change your life, but you must put it into practice. Look with me at James chapter 1, and we'll finish with this verse. James chapter 1. The perfect man, the complete man, is a doer of the word. Look at James chapter 1 and verse number 21. Look at how the word of God goes here. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. There's that fleshly man that God says lay apart. Hey, that humanism, carnality, living by what the world says, our culture, he said lay it all apart. He says this, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The word of God that God engrafts into your heart and your life. Verse number 22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now watch verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God said this, book is like a mirror. I think maybe that's sometimes why we don't read it, because we're afraid of what we're going to see. I told the doctor the day I went to the doctor, I said, you know what, I was fine before I came here. And I thought I was. So I said, I hate coming to the doctor because the doctor's always telling you what's wrong with you. I have a great fear of dentists. They scare the fire out of me. I have panic attacks when I go in there. I grip the arm rails. My heart beats wildly and I breathe heavily. She probably thinks they're coming on to her, but I'm just scared. And because they're always going to tell you something you don't want to hear. Well, you need a root canal. Oh no, I need a root beer, but no canal. And so sometimes the Word of God reveals to us who we really are. We've got this idea, you know, that somehow we're somebody. And God's Word begins to break down our pride and our arrogance, pierce through our bitterness and our anger. And God says, listen, the Word of God is like a mirror. But if you don't be a doer of it, it's like going to a mirror and saying, okay, man, I've got problems. My hair is messed up. I got dirt on my face. My clothes ain't on right. My shirt's not buttoned up straight. My tie's crooked and my gig line's not straight. But I'm just going to forget about what I am and walk my own way and go through life a mess. You know, sometimes I go to Walmart and I say to my wife, do those folks ever look in the mirror? They must not have. Because you can't dress like that and look in the mirror and say, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. There's just no way that you can say that's good to go. All right? Let me tell you something, ladies. Whether you agree with what I believe or not, yoga pants ain't for women to put on and go out in public with. All right? Let me tell you something. There's no need to scar folks like that at all. And you could... No wonder men are turning to be gay. Because that's a scary... I shouldn't say that. But God's Word... It's like that looking glass. And God said this, if you can, you know, by the way, let me say this again to you. Remember what I preached a few weeks ago about conviction? You may read God's Word and not get a feeling about it. Well, that didn't move me any. But now that you know, what are you going to do about it? You just can't say, I'm not convicted. I don't feel it. No, he convinced you already what was right. Hey, your tongue's too loose. Your heart's too bitter. Hey, you know what? You're not soul winning like you ought to be. Not an ambassador. What are you going to do about it? God said, you can do this. You can just be like that guy that looks around, walks away, and forgets about it, but your religion is vain. Or else you can say, all right, God, I'm going to be a doer of the word. And God said this, when you are a doer of the word, this man is blessed in his deed. I don't know about you, but I'm a mess. I need God to bless my deed.
Amen. There you go. That's good.
You know what our church needs? To be blessed in its deed.
That's right. Amen.
This is not our work. This is not doing the things our way. This is not saying, hey, God, this is the way we are. God, take it or leave it. He will leave it before he takes it. Unless we do it his way. You're not going to force God to take vain worship, vain Christianity, vain religion, phony, hypocritical stuff. He'll walk away and say, that stinks to me. Nothing to do with it. But we do things God's way, according to his word. God said, well, that's a sweet savor. He blesses that deed. Ma'am, God can bless you in your deed. Bless you in your work. Sir, God can bless you. Young folks tonight, my heart is this. God can bless you in your life. He can bless the work of your hands. He can make every work that you do prosper. If you put his word first, say, God, Lord, help me conduct myself according to your word in my life. Our church needs to determine to be a Bible-believing, Bible-trusting church. But preacher, you don't understand how things hard may get. The Bible's still power. The Bible's still true. But preacher, I look at the Bible and it seems like my options are bleak. But the Bible's still trusted. And though you may not be able to see around the corner, God can take and he'll take and he'll bless his word. He always has. Every Christian tonight must be determined to be a Bible-believing, Bible-trusting believer. Say, I believe it, preacher. I believe the book. Do you trust it? Do you trust it? That's what I'm asking. Do you trust to give? Well, preacher, I can't afford the tithe. I just can't afford to do that. Don't you trust the book? Preacher, I can't forgive. Preacher, I forgive. I'll be a doormat to that person. Can't you trust the book? Preacher, I can't obey my parents. They have my best interest in mind. They're ruining my life. Can't you trust the book? Preacher, I can't sue it to my husband. In everything, can't you trust the book? Love my wife? Sacrificially love my wife? What about me? Trust the book. Trust the book. Listen, I'll tell you, my biggest failures in life, if I can be transferred tonight, is just not trusting the book enough. Trying to work it out in my own mind, in my own way, not trusting the book. Tonight we need to determine to be a Bible-believing, Bible-trusting Christian. Lord, tonight we come to you, Father. And Lord, in my feeble way, Lord, I've tried to do my best tonight to lift up your name and your book, Father. Lord, I believe this book because you're the author of the book. Lord, help us not only believe it, but trust it to do it. God, tonight we need your help. We need your strength. We need your power. Lord, may the book do in us what you'd have it to do. May we trust it, Father, as we go through life and you give out the commands. Lord, our life depends upon it, Father. May we trust you, Lord. This rest tonight in your name. Let's all sing tonight. Let me begin to play invitation song tonight. You need to come. Would you come?